Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
And the big news of the day, of course, is that PayPal is jumping into Bitcoin. Presumably, this is the cause of the monumental Bitcoin price surge we've been seeing. But I have a hard time saying that this is actually because PayPal has, you know, shown friendliness to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has been going, it's 12% in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I've never actually wished that there was somebody in charge of Bitcoin until this moment, so that we could tell PayPal to shove it.
I would agree. PayPal banned me for life, of course, last year.
For life?
For life.
That's pretty impressive.
They made it clear it was a ban for life, and it was entirely because I was selling Bitcoin, and they didn't like that at all. So it's okay for them, but not for me. And of course, the reason they're getting into it is not because of any ideological reason. They haven't been persuaded about the advantages of Bitcoin, other than the fact that Square made so much money off of selling Bitcoin that it eclipsed the money they made off of everything else that Square does. So Square proved that Bitcoin is extremely profitable. Now PayPal's like, hey, you know what? We need in on this too.
I try not to argue about how the world should be. I try to address it as it is. And as it is, BTC, Bitcoin, is a store of value. It's supposed to be hard and clunky to use, because that means that you're more likely to store value in it.
Yeah, which, you know, decreases the amount of supply that is circulating, which only drives up the value of it for the miners, and who, of course,
right,
are making more
Bitcoin. I don't understand.
Bitcoin.
I cannot tell you why BTC is somehow more valuable than BCH, which is Bitcoin Cash that you're referring to. Bitcoin Cash has all the features of BTC, yeah, and the feature of being able to send money cheaply. I have no idea. I am agog at this every time.
It's just the name recognition, right?
It's name recognition, and then every once in a while you'll find somebody on the BTC side of the whole argument that says something like, every other coin is flawed. There's programming problems. BTC is the only one that isn't flawed.
Well, that's an absurd allegation.
It is.
But BTC maximalist, that's a Bitcoin maximalist, that's someone who rejects the validity of all other cryptocurrencies, they tend to say pretty crazy things.
You have to say crazy things in order to maintain a monopoly, and that's what they're trying to do. So,
well, they're never going to. Well, as long
of course
as
they
exists.
They never wanted to compromise in the first place. That's how you get forks, you know.
Where is PayPal going to get its Bitcoin? I'll sell them some.
The many of these bigger companies, I mean, we've seen public companies going into Bitcoin over the course of the last several months. And I talk about it on the Bitcoin.com, the news.bitcoin.com spots that I do during the break. If you don't get those, then, well, you need to find a system for listening to the show that has the ads. But I've been talking about it.
I don't listen to those.
I've been talking about it for a long time that, hey, look, at some point or another, this is going to break. And yeah, it looks like it's breaking now.
Bitcoin adoption, according to something Ian sourced last night, it's only at like 7% in the United States right now. So only 7% of people even have Bitcoin in the United States. We're far from the threshold where it's mainstream. We're not at 15%. I think that's where it starts to become main. We're still in the early influencers period of this technology.
So there's going to be 21 million Bitcoins when Bitcoin's done. There's about currently, maybe a little less now, but there's about 21 million millionaires in the world. And one would presume, this is just a guess, if Bitcoin continues to progress forward as an idea and as a holding, then there's going to come a time when every millionaire in the world wants to have a Bitcoin. Say I can send you Bitcoin Cash, mm-hmm, but you want to receive Monero. And some program just gets in there and figures out how to send you the Monero from my Bitcoin Cash.
Hey, you have, you know, $50 incoming in Bitcoin Cash. Would you like us to convert that into? Okay, that would be a cool feature for a wallet to have. Actually,
currently, you basically have you pay 3% to a bank in order to do just about every transaction out there if you use a credit card, right? Somebody's already paying that.
Yeah,
if...
Well, banks suck, Mark.
I understand that. if some...
They are the literal devils.
If a company can put together some kind of quick swap that takes 1.5%, everybody saves 50%. And that's a real good thing. I really, truly believe this is the technology of the future. And maybe we'll see that be the case. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But so far, I'm not wrong.
No, I agree. It's definitely the technology of the future. I mean, we've been on this road toward digital payments for decades, and cryptocurrency is just the next step along that goal.
Right.
And I mean, it could have been one of these U.S. government cryptocurrencies, or quote, cryptocurrencies, or it could have been, you know, the Chinese digital currency. It could have been any of those, but they've already lost the ideological war.
Well, they've already lost because they're going to create a cryptocurrency that they can inflate.
I assume most people out there have seen Borat. I've seen it, but I was really young when I saw it, and I don't remember much about it. The only scene I remember was Borat saying at the rodeo that he wanted George W. Bush to drink blood from the skulls of the women and children, and everyone there cheering like they didn't actually hear the horrific thing that he had just said.
Well, at some point or another in that movie, the audience began to turn on Borat. Like he's like, kill them down to the lizards, right? Like so Borat is this character from some fictitious place that sounds like Tajikistan, right? Like, you got to admit, ladies and gentlemen, there's several places in the Middle East area that you don't know that in the name Stan, yeah. Right? I can tell you that's true for me.
Sure.
And he just sort of made up a word that ends in Tajikistan or something like that, and people take his word for it that he's some kind of, you know, important wahoo from this country, from that particular country. And so he ended up, in this case, at a rodeo, and they, for some reason, gave him a microphone. and he said, you know, basically appeared to be a Muslim that disliked the Iraqis. And of course, you know, at the time, this was 2002 or something, 2003, whenever it was.
Of course, I'm from a state that has constitutional carry anyway. So, I mean,
Mississippi? When did that happen?
When I was still in college.
Okay.
I think. I don't remember how old I was, but I think I was still in college. I mean, is it a fairly long time ago? But even before that, I mean, the culture of Mississippi had people driving around, you know, just with loaded shotguns in their truck all the time. No one ever gave any thought about it because literally everyone in Mississippi has a gun or several. So the same culture kind of exists here in New Hampshire, in fact. And that was surprising to me because New Hampshire doesn't have the Christian conservatism like Mississippi has, but they still have the conservatism.
What amazes me is just how illegal guns are in Massachusetts, just across the state line, and how legal they are in New Hampshire and how legal they were in Vermont. Things have changed a little bit in Vermont. You know, the Bernie bros managed to get a little more parlance there. So
if I go to Massachusetts, am I even allowed to take my gun, even if I just, like, leave it in my car or something?
No.
In a bid to resuscitate Donald Trump's floundering presidential campaign, and again, this is coming to us from Consequence of Sound. I don't know whether the presidential campaign is floundering or not. I saw a bunch of news articles saying, oh, Biden is leading by 10 points in Pennsylvania and all of this other crap. I just don't understand how anyone can take polls seriously after 2016. Hmm. Did they not learn definitively then how useless polls are for gauging the pulse of the American people?
Well, I don't know if it's definitive. No. At this point, you would have to believe that people... So they're doing a lot of polling. And
yes, and they did in 2016 as well.
With the intention of finding out whether or not they made mistakes. It would behoove the polling organizations to be correct.
Yes.
There's a lot of money to be made in being correct about who's going to win where.
But they were all wrong 4 years ago.
They weren't all wrong, but they were, yeah, I mean, you know, certainly...
The overwhelming majority were all wrong. Nate Silver of 538, he's a statistician, so he tracks these numbers regularly. He is always looking at these polls, and he predicted Hillary Clinton at the start of the day a 95% chance of victory based on the poll numbers he had seen.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
In the scene, which has been seen by Consequence of Sound, Giuliani can be heard telling Tutar to come here as they enter the bedroom. He then sits on the bed and asks for her phone number and address and begins touching her back. At this point, she untucks Giuliani's shirt and removes his microphone. Giuliani responds by laying on his back. He then puts his hands down his pants for several seconds. At no point does this scene cut in such a way to suggest it is edited or doctored.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds... I just don't have enough facts, all right?
Sure.
So
and I mean, if
Borat loves the salacious stuff, and he's excellent at it.
Yeah.
I need to know whether or not, in order to be stunned and appalled or whatever, I need to know, A, was Giuliani informed that he was being interviewed by a 15-year-old?
Right, and that's unknown.
Who was then going to make him a drink as she untucked his shirt. Or, and also, was Giuliani married at the time? Because...
maybe he had an open marriage. That's
I know
not
he,
my business.
Oh, that would be part of the question, was
sure.
He married?
Okay. Did he betray the trust of his spouse is a valid question. Are lockdowns killing people? The Federalist seems to think so. And, I mean, we know to a degree that that's true because people are committing suicide. People are becoming alcoholics and dying from alcohol poisoning. And you know,
presumably drugs in the same vein.
Yeah. But to what extent is this happening? I don't know. The Federalist seems to think that the lockdowns are killing more people than the virus, and this is how to show people that, according to them.
And I'd also point out that people in nursing homes right now, because this virus is really a nursing home issue, a geriatric issue, you know, not much else. Pardon me, somebody's calling my thing.
Sure.
It's... you know, the people in nursing homes, they're not getting to see their families in a lot of cases. They're being held for months without seeing their families, and their will to live is being sapped out of them. And at certain points in life, if you don't have a will to live, you're not going to.
Yeah, that's tragically true. Not it didn't help that so many of these states, you know, sent people with coronavirus into nursing homes.
Right.
And then, you know, allowed them to die. But you see it every night on the news ticker, on the news, a ticker with the cumulative death toll from the coronavirus. I don't see that every night on the news because I don't watch the news, because I don't want negativity in my life.
If you consider the bad weeks during the coronavirus to be over 60,000, then we were done with the Rona in August. We had two, you know, we had a peak and a dead cat bounce. And at this point, basically, things are clearly returning to normal. If you consider between 50 and 60,000 to be normal like I do, then they are back at normal.
Interesting. And this may also be increasing the number of coronavirus deaths by delaying the point at which people have built up an immune response to slow its spread. Even the World Health Organization is now admitting that lockdowns are rarely an effective response to the pandemic. And again, they are providing links to all of this, but I'm not clicking through. This critical information does not seem to have permeated the larger public, however. No news ticker will display the total number of lockdown-induced fatalities.
Right. There's no, you don't have any idea. And honestly, you don't have any idea how many people have died of the Rona either. Because,
sure.
I mean, how are you to say if somebody dies that they died, you can say whether or not they died and tested positive
Yes, and they did that virus. With a number of bizarre cases where the deaths were totally unrelated to possibly having coronavirus.
Sure. And, what is it? George Floyd, the guy that famously kicked off the huge BLM issue across the United States.
Again, because it's a fight that keeps having to be brought up.
He had the coronavirus.
Deaths from the coronavirus are a single number from a single cause. But deaths due to the lockdown come from many different sources, such as depression and mental illness, suicides, delays in preventative medical care, including deaths from cancer and postponed vaccinations.
A lot of people just aren't going to the doctors. As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody who's sick from corona. Uh-huh. I was talking to somebody whose daughter is sick from corona. Had like sort of ongoing conditions. Now she's testing negative at this point.
Okay.
Four times she's tested negative.
Okay.
But her pulmon, she's got a, her doctor sent her, a little note to go to the pulmonologist or whatever, the lung doctor.
Okay.
Specialist. The lung doctor won't see her because she's has effects from corona. No. Don't bring that in my office, lady. So, how are you supposed to... if she dies of this, she will be a death due to coronavirus, but it should be a death to medical malpractice.
Sure.
If a doctor refuses to see a sick person, especially after they've taken tests to see that everything's fine, that doctor ought to be ought to lose their license. Europe seems to be taking this a little more realistically than the United States is, but Europe didn't have the per capita death rate the United States did because they didn't have Democratic governors sending, geriatric patients infected patients into geriatric wards.
Well, the people of the United States also generally live in a delusional isolation bubble. So, of course, they're not taking anything in a realistic way. They're not a realistic people generally. To penetrate the media barrier and get general public miasma about this disease, we need to be able to present this formulation. For every X lives that continued lockdowns might save, X plus Y lives will be lost due to those very lockdowns. Fortunately, there is someone in the White House who knows exactly what is needed. In May, before he joined the COVID-19 task force, Dr. Scott Atlas and several colleagues published an excellent article in The Hill surveying the extensive public health costs of the economic collapse resulting from the lockdowns. In an interview about the article, Atlas noted that he and his colleagues did not do any sort of model or a complex hypothetical projection. We looked at established retrospective data that has been done, that is empirical, that correlates loss of economic productivity, unemployment, and similarly the healthcare losses that we went through. A New Hampshire restaurant has decided to close rather than follow the mask law, which I would suggest is incorrect. There isn't a mask law in New Hampshire. There may be one in Epping, New Hampshire, which is the town in which this happened, but New Hampshire itself doesn't really have a mask law. It has a mask suggestion, but it isn't really a law. It's not a mandate. It's a suggestion.
Okay.
But in Epping, New Hampshire, restaurateur said he was closing up shop rather than following state mask requirements. Rosalind Ice Cream and Diner owner Joe Boge said he would rather close than require employees to wear masks and would only reopen when the requirements change. What's our options? Do we cow down and figure out a way to follow the rules, or do we make a stand? He asked. It was a unanimous decision to make their stand, and they're not going to bow down. That's pretty much it about the article. Just something interesting that happened. One more business closed because of the government lockdowns. You know, everyone wants to say it's because of COVID-19, but it's not. And here is a actual literal example of a business that's closed because of the lockdowns or because of the mandates related to the lockdowns.
Yeah, it's really difficult to know what would have happened in the absence of the government intervention surrounding the coronavirus. Remember, the United States military was providing young boys to Saudi leaders in order to get their way.
I didn't know
Saudi.
That.
I should have said Afghani. Afghani leaders during the Afghan War. It's absolutely true. All you have to do is look it up.
I don't doubt you. I just did not know that.
Yeah. United States military boy prostitutes ought to get you right there. And It's disgusting, and it's going on right now.
I don't want to get raided, so I'm not going to Google the combination of the words boy and prostitutes here on the studio PC. But
do an incognito window.
I don't think that will help. But okay, so I've never heard that, and I guess the only way to really know would be to learn the language that the Bible was originally written in. And presumably, that's Hebrew.
Well, it's not even one. It's not even one language.
Makes sense. I mean, and it was passed down by oral tradition prior to that. So
sure.
And to see what it actually says.
Yeah, I don't think that it's unlikely. I can say this. That all the references to homosexuality are not references to homosexuality. That if you're reading an English version, you aren't getting the real story on what the Bible says regarding homosexuality.
We're talking about the Pope here. Neither of us are Catholic, obviously, who has decided that the government should legislate to protect same-sex couples and their right to adopt. But he still is refusing to just call them marriages. So he doesn't want gay people to get married. He doesn't want lesbians to get married. He wants them to have civil unions.
So
I'm going to call them marriages, though. And I don't care if people like it or not.
Right.
I'm going to call heterosexual civil unions civil unions instead of marriages.
I have gone through some different changes on this.
Sure.
At one point, I would have said that... Look, marriage has a definition, and let's just go create another term that helps define what's going on. One thing I hate is the way the language has been changed around the word partner. All right? Does partner mean somebody that you have met in the Old West? Does it mean a person with whom you've gone into business? Does it mean somebody that you've committed to spend your life with? Because it is frustrating to me when a heterosexual man describes his wife as his partner.
It's the opposite for me, because if only LGBTQ people are using the term partner, then using the term immediately identifies them as being LGBT.
You should not involve the government in your marriage at all.
You shouldn't involve the government in your relationship at all, in any capacity whatsoever.
However.
But it's necessary, because otherwise you're going to have problems with insurance. You're going to have problems getting into hospitals. You're going to have all, and these are all problems created by the state, because these hospitals and insurance companies, they only recognize government approved marriages.
If one asks my opinion on whether or not gay people or lesbians or whomever should be able to contract to live together and then to record that contract with the government for whatever reasons they want to record that contract with the government, I say absolutely they should be able to do that. And I don't think it should be limited to two people.
I agree. If your witch coven wants to have a lesbian marriage of 25 people, more power to you.
Now,
I would advise not involving the government, but if you want to.
Right. If the government's going to offer these services, it should offer them fairly and equally, in my opinion. I do think, however, that many times when people are looking to be married, they're looking for the bennies. And so if your insurance company doesn't want to offer services to, gay husbands or whatever, then I think they should be able to do that, too.
I've since stopped doing it because it was just kind of bad optics. But I've always referred to myself as a shemale because it's clear, it's concise, and it's short and to the point. Everyone knows what that means as soon as I say it. If I tell somebody I'm
they can't say it, though, because it admits that they have watched porn.
Who hasn't watched porn?
I think many people have watched porn, but usually they get tricked into the shemale stuff.
I don't know how true that is.
Okay.
But saying I'm a non-op male to female transgender person, that's a lot of words to convey exactly the same meaning that is conveyed by saying shemale.
The part about your articles that irritates me the most, and believe me, there's plenty of irritation for me about the whole thing. Like, I'm just made uncomfortable about a lot of it. But these presumptuous a-holes that decide that your pronoun is they.
That bothers me as well. But it's my fault, because they look on Twitter to see if I list my pronouns there. And of course I don't, because I don't care what people call me.
I noticed that they want that. So I put it on my LinkedIn, I put my pronouns on LinkedIn.
I'm not willing to do that.
Why not?
Because I don't care what they call me.
I do.
They can call me what they think fits
best for
me.
I'll call them
me.
Whatever pronouns they want as soon as they use mine.
Intergalactic Space King or whatever?
His Majesty, Your Majesty, yes.
Well, is that what you put on LinkedIn?
Uh-huh.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.